T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is Late Night. This is Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI.
All aboard!
Now all the pressure's on him, all the defense, all the scout report is just all about Kyrie. You know, and it's tough for a small guard to lead a team to a championship.
It's like pint-sized pack.
I can't hold back. I just got to be real, guys.
That, you know, there's a championship team in there somewhere, and they can't buy a win right now. That team is the hotter mess than the Lakers.
And I think the best case scenario for each entity is to have a divorce.
Do you have a lawsuit pending against
Kyrie Irving?
I do. Judgment for the plaintiff in the amount of $5,000. That's all.
Final hour here, Late Night, Sports Radio, WEI. It's Patrick Gilroy with you as we'll make our way together up until midnight tonight. The number to join me here is 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. And I got a couple of texts and tweets here asking, hey, Gilroy, why are you being lazy? Why are you getting off the air tonight at midnight? The answer to that question is, how dare you? I am not being lazy at all. I've been here and been on the air since 7 o'clock. Did a few hours with our new guy here that I'm so grateful for, Brian, because he has allowed me the ability to, I don't know, work my other job. You know what I mean? So he comes in when I can't come in, does some late night, does some weekends, and he's very talented. He's got a little Chris Filani in him, and I love what Chris brings to the air. So that's meant to be an absolute compliment. So I came in, I did 3 hours of radio with him, and now 2 hours of solo radio. So I would like to think that 5 hours of Gilroy is all that you can handle. But if the demand is there for 2 more hours, I mean, who am I to turn away what the people want?
They jealous of us.
So it is Sports Radio, WEI. Room for you guys to jump in here at 617-779-7937. And look, you know, one of the things that I like to say here is, you guys know I've been doing this for a long time. And throughout the course of the time that I started doing radio up through today, I have probably had the Carmelo Anthony discussion and debate, I don't know, a dozen times. Because when Carmelo was in his prime, whether he was in his prime with the Knicks, with the Nuggets, it didn't make a difference where he was. He was one of those guys that always found himself at least in the midst of trade rumors. Because while he was always an elite offensive player, he was somebody that had a tendency to divide the fans. He could divide a locker room. He never quite lived up to the lofty expectations. He liked to consider himself like LeBron James. You know what I mean? They were in the same draft class, and you know, he considers himself that same type of talent. And while he was a spectacular offensive player for many, many years, I take nothing from him. The fact is, he was nothing compared to a LeBron James. All that being said, he was somebody that Danny Ainge was certainly intrigued with. I mean, there was enough smoke that you knew that there was some fire over the years. Danny tried to trade for him more than once. And he's had a couple of opportunities to get him on the cheap over the last few years. And ultimately, the Celtics haven't been in a place within their trajectory where a guy like Carmelo Anthony would fit what they were doing. But now that the Celtics are struggling through this season, and now whether you like to admit this or not, the fact is, ratings come into play. Likeability comes into play. Their broadcast partners, be it 98.5, be it NBC Sports Boston, be it the national networks, and the season ticket holders, they come into play. All of these feelings come into play when they're discussing potentially signing a guy like Carmelo Anthony that will have a tendency to divide the fan base. All that being said, I am all for it. You know, so Carmelo, over the last 2 or 3 weeks, if you haven't been following the story, over the last 2 or 3 weeks, there has been ongoing communication between Carmelo and the Lakers. Carmelo and LeBron James are very, very, very good friends. They're part of that banana boat crew. If you don't know what that means, Google it and you'll get yourself a good laugh. Okay, but they're part of that banana boat crew. And LeBron James had been advocating to Jeannie Buss, advocating to Magic Johnson, that the Lakers, they need Carmelo Anthony. And because the Lakers were hanging on to fringe playoff contention, Carmelo Anthony, he was going to sign with the Lakers with about 10 games to go. That was the plan. And ultimately now today, Carmelo decides through his representatives to break off the conversations with the Lakers because Carmelo's looking to grab onto a team that's going to the playoffs, that he's got a chance to make an extended playoff run with, and it looks like the Lakers are going to miss out on the playoffs this year. So now Carmelo's going to find himself a new team. That leaves you with only a handful of teams that may have a use for Carmelo Anthony. Now, you look at the Bucks. The Bucks have already added to their roster as recently as this weekend with Pau Gasol, but they made other upgrades as well at the trade deadline. You look at a team like the Sixers. The Sixers have made a few upgrades as well this year, of course, with Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris. That is not a team that's looking for another offensive player. I'm telling you right now that because the Celtics are already an unlikable bunch and because their TV ratings are already down, it's not like getting a Carmelo Anthony could sour the fan base here. And because the Celtics have got a divided locker room, and because the Celtics have got a team that displays zero Celtic pride, zero team unity, and they don't fly in the same direction, so to speak, it's not like Carmelo's going to come in here and potentially disrupt the chemistry of this basketball team. So the Celtics are literally in the perfect position. They've got nothing to lose. They've only got one way to go, and that's up. So they've got nothing to lose, and they've got an open roster spot. So why the hell not kick the can on Carmelo Anthony? Maybe you catch lightning in a bottle. Maybe he comes here, and he's exactly the reliable offensive punch that you need off the bench. Maybe he can give you, everybody likes to say that if Gordon Hayward were even 70% of his Utah Jazz Gordon Hayward, then he would at least be making a positive contribution to this team. So why can't Carmelo Anthony come in here and take Gordon Hayward's minutes, at least for the remainder of the season? Why not? I mean, I've got more faith in Carmelo's ability to consistently put the ball in the basket right now, despite the fact that he hasn't played in months. I've got more faith in his ability to do it than Gordon Hayward's. And that doesn't mean that I don't want Gordon Hayward back next year, because I do. But it means in the short term, for right now, for this year, for this team, they've got nothing to lose and everything to gain. So I don't understand the fan base and the nasty reaction to this conversation. Because quite frankly, when it came up earlier, the fan base was dead against it. I'm getting hated on Twitter because of it. And Gary Washburn, who suggested it in the Globe today, took a tremendous amount of heat for even daring suggest it. Why? Why not try it? You've got nothing to lose. Your team is broken. Your team has done nothing positive this year. Your team is literally tossing their season in the toilet. So why not give Carmelo Anthony a kick at the can and see if he's got, I don't know, a little bit more game than Gordon Hayward does right now? Because the one thing that this team desperately needs still is a secondary reliable scorer. And maybe if you can replace Gordon Hayward's minutes and production with a guy like Carmelo, maybe the other pieces start to fall into place. Because right now, it's Kyrie Irving and everybody else. And I think we've all learned that that type of basketball just does not work. It is Sports Radio WEI, room for you at 617-779-7937. Let's get back out to these calls. Let's go to Andre. Andre's on the Cape. Andre, you're next up here on WEI.
How you doing? Yes, Carmelo Anthony coming to the Celtics will only guarantee that instead of losing in the first round in six games, they would get swept. Okay, Carmelo Anthony.
So what? so what? You know, what's the difference?
So the difference is, instead of getting swept in the first round or losing in six and seven games, Brad Stevens can do what Steve Kerr did to win championships. And instead of stalking the sidelines, he can sit down and put his talent on the court. It was great to hear the Hingham Hammer on your show, the legendary Bob Ryan.
Yep.
And he mentioned one Mr. John Havlicek, who he speaks very insightfully and well of in his book Scribe, in those championship teams in the 60s and the 70s.
Andre, that's a great book, isn't it? That's an awesome book.
Great book covering baseball, covering sports, covering his time at Boston College. But, you know, in terms of leadership, John Havlicek is on one side of the spectrum, and Kyrie Irving is on the other side of the spectrum, unfortunately. John Havlicek, much better overall all-around player. Obviously, Kyrie is the better scorer. The point of fact is that those Celtics teams got their leadership from their best player, who was John Havlicek. And this Celtics team needs to get its leadership from either its coach, who is failing miserably right now, or its general manager.
So it looks like we lost his call there. Okay, I'm sorry about that. We lost your call. The phones here, by the way, Joe, have been abysmal lately.
I asked him earlier. He's been disconnected like four times.
I don't know what's going on here, but the phones have sucked lately. I didn't hang up on you. I'm here all week. We can continue this conversation. I promise you that. And I see you there, Master. I told you last time that when I had you on, you didn't get enough minutes. You called me out for it. So I'm not going to take you now because I'd cut you off again because I have to go to a break. So hang on the line. Okay, I promise you I'll get to you, and you'll have all the time that you want. It is Sports Radio. WEI, my name is Patrick Gilroy. This is Late Night. Listen, so Carmelo Anthony, that's on the table. This has been a massive, massive failure for the entire Celtics organization, and it starts at the top. So it starts with Brad Stevens. So the question really becomes, and this I'm fascinated by, because you'd be surprised at the answers that I got on Twitter earlier today. So let's just play, imagine that for a minute. Let's play the fact that the Celtics, they're going to go into the postseason. Let's say that they win a couple of rounds, the season comes to an end, whatever it may be. And now it's July 1st, and Danny Ainge, he's got his time, he's got his moment. He has got Kyrie Irving in his office, and we all know Danny Ainge, he still wants Kyrie back. If Kyrie says to Danny, I will sign on the dotted line, I will give you the five-year deal. I will be a lifetime Celtic, and we will retire my number. But Brad's going to go. Brad has got to go. I don't want Brad Stevens to be my coach. What does Danny Ainge say? What should Danny Ainge say? Which guy is more important to the overall future success of the Boston Celtics franchise? Is it Kyrie Irving or is it Brad Stevens? We'll talk about that and more when we come back right here on Sports Radio WEI.
Everybody get up, it's time to slam now. We got a real jam going down. Welcome to the Space Jam. Here's your chance, do your dance at the Space Jam. Alright.
So, you had to play this song, didn't you? This is something that irks me. So, LeBron James is going to make Space Jam 2. That was announced a couple of weeks ago. It's going to come out in a couple of years. And look, you know, LeBron James is desperately, desperately, desperately trying to be remembered as somebody that's better than Michael Jordan when it's all said and done. There's only one Space Jam. And the fact that you're going to try to recreate this, I know it's the age of reboots. And look, I'm as guilty as anybody. There's been some reboots that I have really thoroughly enjoyed. I am not going to enjoy Space Jam 2 because to me, LeBron James, he can't play that type of role. He can't make fun of himself. He can't be a goof. And if you go back and you watch, what made Space Jam so endearing was Michael Jordan, was Muggsy Bogues, who was Charles Barkley, and their ability to mess with cartoons and have fun with one another. LeBron is not that guy. It is Sports Radio, WEI. It's WEI Late Night. Room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. Back out to the phones we go. Let's go to Chris. Chris is in Chelsea. Chris, you next up here on WEI.
Gilroy, your Celtics takes have been hot for a long period of time, but you are out of your mind on this one, brother. Like, what? Like, I don't even know what's going on here. You're sitting there, and you're in the city of champs. We got the Red Sox winning the championship. We've got the Patriots winning the championship.
Yep.
You're sitting in the city of champs on late-night duty. You got Bob Ryan as a fan, and you're telling me Carmelo?
So here's the thing. I'm telling you Carmelo for a couple of reasons. Not because, hold on, Chris, hear me out. And I'm gonna keep you on the line, okay? It's late night. I'm not in a hurry to dump anybody. But here's the thing. So Carmelo's a guy that Danny Ainge, like it or not, Danny Ainge has been enamored with him more than once, okay? He's been connected to the Celtics more than once over the last 10 years. So the Celtics right now are desperately trying to find a way to put the ball in the basket. That's one of their problems. Even yesterday, when they were making their comeback against the Rockets, they should have come all the way back. Jason Tatum is missing layups. Terry Rozier is missing free throws. The one thing that Carmelo Anthony could do was put the ball in the basket. I understand that he is a jackass. He's a team killer. He's unlikable. He's all those things. But this team is already as unlikable as they get. So if you're ever gonna do it now. You got nothing to lose.
Never do it. Listen. I get what you're saying. He does play charity basketball. He scores well. He would do well in a softball league. he hasn't played defense. Kilroy, he hasn't played defense since Syracuse.
Okay, so he and Kyrie will be perfect for each other.
Yeah, but my man, what are we talking about? We see this team each and every night, and the defensive prowess is not exactly the the intensity is not exactly there. So instead of having two people out there who are defensive liabilities, You're going to put out three now?
All right, so truth be told, you caught me, Chris. You caught me. Truth be told, I want him on the Celtics because it's good for radio. It's good for me. The content that he will provide here for a couple of months.
Your producer was surprised to hear from me. I'll tell you what, Gilroy, if Carmelo gets signed, you're going to hear me screaming at you every single night.
I'm looking forward to it.
We're going to run the tape back. And we're going to watch Big town, Chris
from Chelsea.
Going on fire, brother.
There it goes, Chris and Chelsea. I appreciate the phone call, man. Look, man, so for a lot of reasons, right? Selfishly, as a radio guy, what's better than Carmelo Anthony? Who's better than Carmelo Anthony? The content alone that he will provide here for me, I mean, selfishly, my God, it's perfect. And look, the Celtics, they are better than Carmelo Anthony. You know what I mean? When you look at Carmelo and the type of superstar that he was perfect for the Knicks. Those two were made for one another. I get all of that. I understand why fans wouldn't want him here. But those fans, most fans, except the diehards, stopped watching this team. So if you're ever going to bring him here, if you're ever going to try it, Danny Ainge, if you're ever going to kick the can, you've got the open roster spot. He's not going to cost you anything. And nobody's watching these games right now anyways. Fans have already given up hope on this year's basketball team. So if they happen to make do in the playoffs and come through and win a couple of rounds, guess what? You know, the one good thing here that the Celtics have done is they went into this season as a heavy, heavy favorite, right? At least in the Eastern Conference. And they went into the season with huge expectations. And it was really the first time in Brad Stevens' tenure here with the Celtics that they were going into a season with these sort of lofty expectations. And what does that do? That changes the narrative of the conversation. Because in years past, if you're 12, 13 games over 500 at this stage in the season, well, perception is different, right? Perception becomes reality, and the perception would have been in years past, that is a successful season. But because the Celtics were perceived to be a championship contender, albeit a fringe one this year, being in fifth place, despite the fact that you're 12 games over 500, means that you've had a monumental failure of a season because the perception about this year was different. The perception about the Celtics going into the playoffs, though, the moment this regular season comes to an end, and let's make the assumption that over their last 18 games, the Celtics go 9-9. So they're a 500 team. That means they finish the season with, 47 wins. That's putrid compared to what they were supposed to do. But that doesn't make a difference because at this point, the season will mercifully come to an end. And the playoffs that, you know, you heard so much about, the playoffs that Kyrie Irving has told you, just wait for the playoffs. The playoffs will be here soon. And that's what we're waiting for here. That's when I flip the switch. Well, when the playoffs get here, the perception of the Boston Celtics will not be a team that is contending to win a championship. The perception will be that they're a team that will be lucky to get out of the first round. So because the perception of the Celtics will change drastically based on their unsuccessful regular season, maybe they can go into the postseason as the underdogs, like they always have been in years past. Maybe they can sort of grab their gritty, gutty, defensive-minded identity once again, because now they will be doubted. Now they will no longer be the favorites. Now they won't be front runners. Now they'll be the gritty underdogs that are desperately trying to shut people like me up, that are desperately trying to shut everybody up because they're angry. That's what the Celtics did successfully in years past. They were the underdogs. The moment that Gordon Hayward went down last year, guess what? Expectations went out the window. So what do? They rallied around each other because nobody thought they could win. And they went on to win 16 straight games and massively exceed anybody's expectations. The moment that Kyrie Irving went down last year, what happened? All of the fans, all the national media, they stopped picking the Celtics. They stopped picking them. Anybody that had remained on the Celtics bandwagon post-Gordon Hayward injury because the team found success, all of those people, nationally, locally, they went out the window the moment that Kyrie Irving went down. So what did the team do? They rallied around each other, and they had a monumentally successful postseason run because the expectations, the perception changed. The expectations were lowered. So maybe because the expectations will be lowered going into this year's postseason, maybe that will be the saving grace of this basketball team. It is Sports Radio, WEEI, room for you guys at 617-779-7937. Let's stick with these calls. Let's go to Master IC. Master, you're up next here on WEEI.
Peace, Patrick.
Hey, what's going on? I got to ask you a question, Master.
Peace to the human family. Continue with your question.
I have never asked you this, I don't believe. And if I have, I apologize. I forgot the answer. What is Master IC? What is it? Does it stand for something, or where'd that name come from?
My righteous name is Master IC Allah.
Okay.
Master I, master self. I mean in self. See Allah, understand God. So master self, understand God. It's a virtue that I live for, or it's a virtue that I live presently. But so, it's something to remind me. It's my righteous name, which is to remind myself of the virtue, and also to subliminally remind the other of the virtue.
Excuse my ignorance here. You said it was your righteous name. So is that different from what your legal name would be?
My honorable name or my legal name is, yes, it's different than
okay,
that.
Perfect. I needed to understand, and that's all. You know, I figured we've talked enough times now. Now I get it.
I appreciate you asking the question.
Yeah.
So, listen, I was thinking about it. I was listening to your interview with the man.
Yep.
And I thought to myself, because I said this months ago. Months ago, I was saying that the solution for the Celtics, as far as them finding their success, is determinant on Brad Stevens being able to determine the rotation that will work the best. Ultimately, I think what we're all saying right now is that the rotation of the bench is too long right now. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, so generally what happens is, you know, you get to the end of the regular season and you pare it down anyways going into the playoffs, and it should be a 7 or 8 man rotation. Right. This year, I need to see that happen, but unfortunately, because nobody has really carved out their roles, the roles are so ill-defined beyond Kyrie Irving. Everybody else's role on this team is really up in the air. So
there's two things, if I may interrupt.
Yeah, go for it.
I feel the solution is the shortening of the bench. I think that ultimately when Bob Ryan was saying that it's possible for the Celtics to actually be more successful in the playoffs, that's all determined on whether Brad Stevens shortens his bench or not. Because the precedent and the proof is in this Celtics and how successful they've been when they've been down a man on their roster. Correct?
Yep. Yeah, you're right.
So my second part is, this. I don't think this has anything to do with Kyrie Irving or any other player. I think this has to do with Brad Stevens.
Well, hold on. I can't let you just say that without addressing it. The fact is, you know, when you talk about Kyrie Irving, he hasn't done himself any favors, first of all, in the media. And second of all, the evidence is there, Master. When you look at the month of February, do you realize that they did not win one game in the month of February in which Kyrie Irving played? Not one game.
So what if we look at the statistics as to whether all their players were available? This is why I made the point earlier. The success of this team, when they're down a man, when they're down a role player. So ultimately, for me, it comes down to shortening the bench. Now, as far as Brad Stevens is concerned, I think we can agree that through this regular season, he's been using a whole bunch of his bench players, which has obviously been to the team's detriment as far as wins and losses, correct?
Yeah, you know, and it's unfortunate. Remember, going into the season, the Celtics were supposed to have the deepest and the best bench in the NBA. That's what all the experts said. And it's been a monumental flop and failure.
I think it's been all right, so it leads me towards this. I put a lot of the blame on Brad Stevens. Now, the reason I put a lot of the blame on him is because he's not taking his players and explaining to them what their role is and how they should be used properly. Yet, Brad Stevens does have a chance at redemption as far as the playoffs are concerned, because I feel that if he makes the decision to shorten his bench to 7 or 8 players in the playoffs, then I think this team will be successful. I think the lack of understanding one's role lies in the fact that bench is so long right now, and I just don't think Brad Stevens is using it properly as far as the successful strategy is concerned.
So I can get behind that. I can get behind that. I can, because it's ultimately, Master, it's up to Brad to make that adjustment. And I talked about this last week, and I'll mention it again right now. So, yes, you can indirectly blame Brad Stevens, but the ultimate failure here, and it's not his fault, but the ultimate failure in this situation falls on Gordon Hayward's inability to, you know, get back and be at least 70-80% of the guy that he used to be this year. I fully expect Gordon Hayward to be back next year, but this year the Celtics relied on him. Now he should be, if somewhat healthy. Hold on.
Stevens relied on
him. He did. But if he were somewhat healthy, all right, if he were somewhat healthy, he would be the natural number two scorer behind Kyrie Irving. Now, listen to how naturally things fit now. Now you got Kyrie is your number one player, followed by Gordon Hayward. Jason Tatum slides naturally into that three spot. You got Jaylen Brown as your four. And to round it out, you got Big Al as your fifth. And those guys, in that order, those are the amount of shots that they should be taking, and that's their importance to wins on the basketball team. But because Gordon Hayward is unable to be that guy, that secondary role has been in flux all season long. Is it Jason Tatum? Is it Jaylen Brown? Is it Al Horford? You know, nobody knows their role, and it's all become a sort of a screwed-up mess.
So the point is, it's not Hayward's fault. It's not Hayward's fault.
No, I'm not blaming him. I'm not blaming him. It's Brad's fault.
Yes, it's Brad's fault. Again, this is why I say, though, Brad has an opportunity at redemption as long as he shortens his bench. And this is why I say it's not Kyrie's fault. Yes, he has acted a particular way, cantankerous, if you will.
It's a good word.
Media. Yeah, thank you. I've been working on it. But, you know, like, yes, he's been acting a particular, like, negative way towards the media. And you know what I feel? I think there's value in his argument in that, yo, guys, like, the beef is not, like, with the talent. I think he's kind of subliminally saying the beef is with the coaching. He's got this bench stretched out too much right now.
So, look, I got to get into that on the other side. I promised you I'd give you some more time. Do you have anything Do you have anything else before you get out of here, Master?
I just want to say, man, I was in my emotions. I was thinking with my heart when I called you out in that sweat.
It's all right? Good, man. It's all good.
It wasn't a logical, you know, that's why I laughed, because I was like, man, I was all up in my heart and stuff instead of being in my brain.
I got you, brother. I'll talk to you again real soon. There he goes, Master. I see you. Now we know why I call him Master. Now we know. All right. So listen, he brought up a good point. I can't fully blame Gordon Hayward, but I can't fully blame Brad Stevens either. But you got to give blame. I'm getting tired of people that are unwilling to give blame to Kyrie Irving. The man controls what comes out of his mouth, and he knows the things that he's saying are disrupting this locker room, and he continues to do it. He's unapologetic about it. He doesn't put the Boston Celtics first. He puts Kyrie Irving first, and the Boston Celtics, they may come third behind the New York Knicks. It is Sports Radio WEI.
I'll tell you what, Gilroy, if Carmelo gets signed, you're going to hear me screaming at you every single night.
I'm looking forward to it.
We're going to run the tape back, and we're going to watch Big Town, Stinky Champ, Chris from Healthy. Going on fire, brother.
There he goes, Chris and Chelsea. I appreciate the phone call, man.
We run out into the woods. Perhaps there's a secret tunnel there. We exit said tunnel at a designated spot. SEAL Team 6 swoops in, puts us on one of those inflatable motorboats. We hit the water. We're out of there on our way to you.
Final segment here, Sports Radio WEI. It is late night. My name is Patrick Gilroy. Still a little bit of time and room for you guys at 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. Find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. Let's get right back out to these calls, getting as many as we can before we get out of here. Let's go to Paul. Paul's in the truck. Paul, you're next up here on WEI.
Hey, Patrick. Good to talk to you again.
You too, Paul. What's on your mind, my friend?
Thanks, man. Hey, a self-serving interest here. Now, Carmelo Anthony, you want to bring more negativity to this team, right?
You got nothing to lose, man. That's all I'm saying.
Wait a minute. Here's a guy that don't rebound, doesn't pass the ball, doesn't play no defense. We need another guy that don't play defense. And how are these young guys on this team going to grow when Anthony gets the ball and doesn't let the ball out of his hands except when he shoots it? If people talk about Marquise Morris, every time he gets the ball, he shoots. So now we need Carmelo Anthony. I'd rather have Mark Anthony, and he doesn't play basketball.
So Paul, it's a good line, but here's my thing, right? So my only suggestion is this. Bring in Carmelo Anthony, and you give Gordon Hayward one shot in these games. So right now he's playing about 26 minutes a night. And you know within the first two or three minutes that he's on the floor whether he's got it or not. If it's evident that Gordon Hayward doesn't have it that night, he doesn't play any defense because he can't right now. You know, he doesn't rebound because he can't right now. And on the nights where he can't shoot, he's virtually useless out there. So now you've given him his 3 minutes. It's evident that he can't play that night. You just sub in Carmelo Anthony to play the Gordon Hayward role for the remaining 23 minutes that you would have given to Hayward anyways.
Patrick, again, Carmelo Anthony don't rebound, don't play defense, and he's not an assist guy. So how much better is he going to be than Gordon Hayward? Come on, please. God, Carmelo Anthony probably wants to play another year, so now it's going to be worse than ever. Whenever he gets the ball in his hand, it's going to be like glue. He's only going to go to the hoop. Forget about it. We don't need Carmelo Anthony. Plus, he's out of shape all the time anyway. He's never been a winner, so he's not going to be a leader. Doesn't know what winning's about. And there's got to be a reason nobody else has picked him up. Because they know what he's about. He's a dog.
Well, that's not true. That's not true. So the reason nobody else has picked him up is because he and his agent screwed up. They strategically they got other offers, but they strategically were waiting out on the Lakers. The Lakers wanted to bring him in for the last month of the regular season. The thinking was that he would have enough juice left in the tank at his age where if he got in shape the last month of the season, he could be that secondary threat in the playoffs. Now the Lakers, they're not going to the playoffs.
No championship contending team is going to pick up Carmelo Anthony. It's just not going to happen.
Guess what, though, Paul? The Celtics aren't a championship contending team.
You're trying to get there by bringing in Carmelo Anthony.
It's all my
fault. You're hoping to get to the playoffs and go to second round or third round. No, thank you. You are better than that, Carmelo. You're better than that, Patrick. I know you are.
I appreciate it, Paul. See that? It's my fault. It's all my fault. Look, I may be better than that. I may be. But desperate times call for desperate measures. And the Celtics, what they're in right now, this defines desperation. So maybe, you get the best out of Carmelo Anthony for a couple of weeks. I don't know. All I know is right now, everything that this team is doing has gone wrong. I know that every single string that Danny Ainge has pulled has gone wrong. I know that every single thing that Brad Stevens has tried has gone wrong. And I don't know what to do about it at this point in the season, because when it was going wrong a month into the season, you could say, well, you know, the season's new. 2 months in, you could say, well, you know, it's still early enough. 3 months in, you know, this team, they'll be all right. By the time you hit the All-Star break and realized, holy crap, the All-Star break this year came so late, there's only 26 games remaining in the season. And here come the Celtics. They're 1-4 since the break, about to go hit this West Coast road trip that's either going to galvanize this team and bring this team closer together and give this team the confidence that they so desperately need, that they can actually contend, that they don't suck, that they can be a very good team. Or it's going to put the final nail in this season's coffin. Because let's face it here, the Celtics, they're going out west, that's hard enough. But it starts off with just a beast of a game tomorrow night, Golden State. And then you get the Kings. The Kings are not your grandfather's Kings. No, no, no. This is a Kings team that is looking to qualify for the playoffs, thus screwing up the Celtics' potential lottery pick that they're owed. But that's besides the point. Then you got the Lakers. Now, the Lakers look like a lottery team, but it's Celtics, Lakers, and LeBron James is going to be there. And let's face it, the Lakers came to the Garden, what, last 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago? And they beat the Celtics. And the Celtics, they have not been right since. Since Rajon Rondo hit the game winner in the Garden with no time remaining on the clock. The Celtics haven't been the same team. Rajon Rondo broke the hearts and minds of the Boston Celtics. He broke the souls of the Boston Celtics. It sucks. And then they round out the road trip with the Clippers and Doc Rivers. So this road trip, very, very difficult. And the Celtics, they need to win 3 out of 4 of these games to even remotely give the fans any sense of hope. So it is Sports Radio, WEI. This has been Late Night. We're getting out of here a couple of hours earlier than usual tonight, because I came in at 7 o'clock tonight. That's 5 hours of Gilroy. That is plenty of Gilroy. I'll be back here again tomorrow night for the standard shift 10 to 2. And I'll be on while the Celtics simultaneously are playing the Golden State Warriors. I can't legally do play-by-play, but it's going to get real close to breaking FCC regulation here tomorrow night. Until then, I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.